One time, the late comedian George Burns was asked a question. What makes a great sermon? It's like asking God himself, right? What makes a good sermon? And so George Burns thought about it for a second. He says, well, you need a great introduction, need a great conclusion, and try to keep those two as close as possible to one another. So I don't know if I'll have a great sermon or not today, but it's a privilege, it's an honor always to speak the word of God, whether it is your first time to speak or it's your last time to speak or if it's just one in a series of being able to speak the word of God. And so I want you to do me a favor this morning. I want you to pray. Pray not for myself delivering a final message, but pray that God will open up your heart and your mind, just like you would ask every Sunday, that God will just speak to your heart and teach you what he wants to teach you this morning through the word of God. So let's pray. Dear God, when Samuel was a little boy, he didn't realize you were speaking to him. And then he went back to you and said, here I am, Lord. Open my ears, open my heart to hear the word of God. And I pray, dear Lord, this morning that we will be able to hear the word of God so that we'll be able to obey the word of God. The challenge before myself is to preach the word of God in season and out of season, to encourage and to motivate and to correct and to challenge us to live lives worthy of the kingdom of God. And I pray, dear Lord, also as a hearer of the word of God, I pray that we will hear and not merely be hearers of the word only, but that we will be doers of the word of God. So right now, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, may it be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please repeat after me. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and be courageous. Third time's a charm, right? Be strong and courageous. Now, many of you sounded strong and courageous. And if I would have us stand this morning, if we would describe ourselves as a strong and courageous person, I wonder how many of us would stand. Now, it's been interesting in my transition out of my role as executive pastor here at College Avenue Baptist Church, I've had different people say to me, boy, Mark, you're pretty courageous. Or you have a lot of faith. You're making a very bold decision to step out of a current position, to step out of income, and to trust the Lord with what is the next step. Maybe you could describe that as being strong and courageous. But one thing you need to know about me, one of my strengths is self-assurance. I have a lot of self-confidence. And if you would look at self-assurance on the Strength Finder, one of the things you would notice about self-assurance is people who have self-assurance, they like to take risks. They're open to risk. They're open to change because they are confident that they will meet the challenge. It's very interesting. You do a Google search and you just type in the words strength and courage. You know what else pops up? Not just self-confident people, but it was very interesting. I saw right away two articles on Navy SEALs. And they describe the Navy SEALs, especially with going and getting Osama bin Laden, about their strength and their courage. And the article went on to talk about their physical strength and their mental perseverance and their bravery and their commitment to their country. But when I read scripture, I don't know if that is what is meant by being strong and courageous. No doubt they are strong and courageous individuals, but is that what scripture means when it says be strong and courageous? I'd like to give you a definition. I have many different definitions when it comes to the word courage. It's interesting. Courage, the heart of the word is core, which it's dealing with our heart. But my definition for courage is when faith trumps fear. When faith trumps fear. It's interesting, John Wayne, very courageous person. He said, courage is when you are scared to death, yet you still saddle up the horse. You see, there's many people who think that courage is the absence of fear. We can't get away from fear. We can't get away from anxiety and stress because it is all around us. In fact, if we look at the Old Testament scriptures and we look at all the great stories that we love and that we admire and that we get hope and we get encouragement from, there was some unknown, there was some tension, there was some fear, there was some heartbreak. What ends up happening when we're full of fear sometimes, or full of anxiety, or full of questions and uncertainty about the future? And we live in a world right now where a lot of us probably have a lot of questions because we live in a very shaky times and a lot of change and what is going to happen tomorrow. And it causes us stress and anxiety and fear. And when we're in that state of fear, some of us get stuck. Some of us get stuck in a rut. And then we start feeling hopeless and we need to break out. It's very interesting. Sometimes I think I'm a very smart individual. Then other times I'm like, Mark, you're a pretty foolish guy. A few years ago, when these glue traps came out to kill mice, I don't know what happened to the old-fashioned way of killing a mouse, you know? But anyways, this is probably 5-6 years ago. It was before I came to College Avenue. I saw these glue traps. Actually, the one that I had said, stick them on it. And you can see me, you know, going through Lowe's and needing a mouse trap. And I look at this and I say, glue traps. I say to myself, those things really don't work, do they? So I opened it up in the store. Nobody looking. Guess what? They work. It's quite embarrassing, in fact, having that thing and trying to get it off. You know, curiosity got me into trouble. It was all innocent. I went in looking for a regular old mouse trap, and here I saw these glue traps, and I tried to figure out how they work, and I figured out how they work. Some of you right now, you're stuck in a glue trap. You know, it may be your career. It may be a relationship. It could be just a stage of life, and you're feeling stuck. You're feeling like you need a little bit of push to get out of the gate. You need to break out. If you're one of these people, I wrote down a list of people that probably need to break out. I just wrote down maybe about 20 things here. If you feel overwhelmed, you feel stressed, you feel tired, you feel bored, you feel confused, you feel hopeless, you feel worthless, you feel uncertain, you feel like life stinks, maybe use a different word, you feel stuck, you feel like you have stopped dreaming, you have more debt than you can pay back, you have an addiction, you feel like quitting, you dream about a different life, you don't know what an iPad or an iPod is. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but if you don't know, you're stuck in the way past. You may need to break out if you look around and see no one is around you. You don't know who your kids' best friends are. And I could go on with this list, but this morning I want to talk about this courage, where faith trumps fear. And we'll never get away from fear. Fear is always going to be there, but faith is going to trump fear. Now, there's different types of courage you might need this morning. You might need moral courage. What's moral courage? Again, maybe you're stuck in a sin or a bad habit. You're living a life of disobedience and you know that what you're doing is not right. And maybe it's because of the people you're hanging with. But you need that courage to step out and do what is right, even though someone might make fun of you. Some of you this morning, you need relational courage. What's relational courage? I'm not talking about stepping out of a relationship and getting a divorce, but maybe you need the courage to reconcile. Maybe you need the courage to forgive. Maybe you need the courage to love someone deeply. Some of you need dream courage. I don't know who it was. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was your boss. But somebody went and they shattered your dream. And then they shattered it again. And they shattered it again. And you said to yourself, I might as well quit dreaming. Even though God in his word says he is able to do exceedingly far beyond what we can even think or dream or imagine. He wants to do with our lives. Some of you need financial courage. You need that financial courage to get out of debt. Maybe you need that financial courage to start giving a percentage of your income back to God. Maybe you need that financial courage not to worry and not to live your life around Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and all those guys and hear the anxiety and fear of our economy collapsing and putting your faith and your trust in God. If you want to invest in gold, go for it. But I'm going to invest in God. You know, some of you, you need breakout courage. Now, I'm not talking about someone who's stuck in a really bad rut. Those people that are stuck in a bad rut, we all know they need to break out. You know what? Some of you need to break out because you're in a good rut, if there's a good rut. Life is going well, you're feeling safe, you're feeling secure. But every once in a while you hear this voice, God's whisper to you, hey, Mark. But he's not saying Mark, he's saying your name. He's saying you need to move on. You're getting too safe. You're getting too secure. You're getting in a rut. You're not letting faith trump fear anymore. Let's see what this courage and strength is all about. Let's turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. There's Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. So I guess it's the sixth book in Joshua chapter 1. Let me read especially the first 9 verses, and we'll see how we go and what we can look at this morning. Notice in Joshua 1:1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, my servant is dead. Now catch this before we move too far. Even though God's servant, Moses, is dead, God's plans and his purpose is not. What God wants to do is not dependent upon an individual or a person. God's plans and purposes are greater than individuals, even a great individual like Moses. Notice what he says. He says, now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you have set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west, the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know about you, but if I was Joshua, I'd be pretty encouraged right now. The Lord could have probably stopped talking. But the Lord doesn't. Notice what he says. He says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Obviously, Joshua's life was filled with fear. Think about the training that Joshua got under Moses. Okay, Joshua, this is what you need to do. You need to wander. Go wander around in the wilderness. Oh, when you see that cloud in the sky, make sure you stay with it. But I want you to wander. You see, we haven't been given permission yet to cross the Jordan River. And so you need to wander. I mean, Joshua had 40 years of training on wandering. Guess what? Now on the other side, there was warriors. There were fortified cities. There were mountains. There were rivers. And now God is saying, I want you to lead these 2 million people, these 2 million people who just don't get it, who want to go back to Egypt, who are scared to death, who feel like being in a major rut of wandering around, doing nothing with my life for 40 years sounds good enough for me. Now I want you to take these people who are known to be stubborn, to complain, to grumble, to doubt, who I've asked to obey me, who I know will eventually disobey me. I want you to take these people and I want you to move forward. And so 3 times he commands them, be strong and be courageous, be strong and be courageous, be strong and be courageous. 6 commands in the 9 verses of encouragement. Be strong and be courageous. So how do you develop a breakout courage? I think that this text, and the Lord has provided it, gives us ways that we can break out. And the first way we break out is by having a deep awareness of the breakout promises. Notice in verse 3. Notice this promise that the Lord is giving. And this passage actually is filled with a bunch of promises. But let's just start in verse 3. After he says, I want you to go and lead the Israelites into the promised land. Notice in verse 3, he says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. If you want, you can go back to Genesis 12, go back to Genesis 15, you can go back to Genesis 18, you can go back and you can look at the call of Moses in Exodus 3 and 4. You can go back and look at what God is doing all the way up to his death. You can look in Deuteronomy 28 through 30 and God's challenge of blessings and cursing and how they can find life and how they can live in the land of blessing. And then you can see in Deuteronomy 31, Moses actually speaks and he says, you know what? I wanted to go into the land, but God's not going to allow me to go into the land. And so Joshua, you're going to take the people into the land just as the Lord has promised. You see, I'm convinced if we just knew what the breakout promises were and we had a better handle on Scripture, I believe we would be full of so much more faith and courage and boldness that some people would look at us and they would say, wow, you got a lot of faith. Your faith is trumping your fear. Your faith is trumping your anxiety. Your faith is trumping your stress. And you could say, you know, it's not really anything to do with me. I'm just reading God's word and I'm noticing his promises. In fact, notice how the Lord is working. In verse 2, he says, I am about to give them. Verse 3, I will give you. Notice in verse 5, then he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What does this relate to the New Testament? It's very interesting in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, before Peter encourages us to practice self-discipline and make every effort to add to our faith godly qualities and godly characteristics so that we can have a boldness and confidence as we stand before God on that final day. But in 2 Peter 1, 4, he says, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. What does Peter use to describe God's promises? He says they're very great and they're very precious. You see, I rest on the promises of God. I make decisions in life, yes, based on past experience and God's faithfulness, but more than that, I make decisions in life based on the promises of God's word. You see, one of the most courageous things a person can do, and some of you maybe have never done that, as you're listening to me today, one of the most courageous things you can do is trust in Jesus Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. What gives you the courage to trust in Christ alone, not in your good works, not in your church attendance, not in the fact that you've never killed anybody, not in the fact that you've given up a life of sin? But what gives you the courage to trust in Christ and Christ alone and in the power of the cross and the resurrection? Well, it's the promises from God's word. If you even just take the Gospel of John, it starts in John 1, 12, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That is a promise. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 5:24, he who hears my words and believes in the one who sent me, they shall have eternal life. They will not be condemned, for they have crossed over from death to life. And I could go on and on. It's based on the promises of God. And obviously the finished work of Christ. But you know, some of you that are stuck right now, I guarantee there is a promise. There's a promise in God's word that will encourage you to step out in faith. But notice this, it doesn't end with the promise that I will give you the land. Again, it moves into what I call the Oreo cookie. It moves into the cream. Notice it, again, there's three sets here. It says, be strong and be very courageous, and be strong and very courageous, and be strong and very courageous. But in this section, and I put it up on the screen here for you, there's what it's called a chiastic structure. And it shows the center, it shows the heart of what is going on. And as you read these verses, the core of courage, the heart of courage is the word of God. In fact, it's very interesting. If you look at the first set, be strong and be courageous in verse 6. Notice in verse 7, it says, be strong and very courageous. I think wants to catch our eye to the verse 7. Notice what's happening in verse 7. It says, be strong and very courageous. Notice it says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Strength and courage, my friends, is tied to the word of God. Life is uncertain. There's many questions in life, but our strength and our courage is found in the certainty of the word of God. And it requires us to understand what the breakout practices are. It's very interesting. Moses was constantly challenging the people. Know the word of God. Make sure your children know the word of God. Impress them upon your heart. Of your children, talk about them in the morning, talk about them in the evening, excuse me, post them throughout your household, inside, outside. Make sure your children, your grandchildren understand the word of God, because breakout courage, my friends, notice it's the core. We need to know what the breakout practices are, and we need to do the word of God. You see, I can be very courageous in my transition because I know what God wants me to do. He wants me to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that God has commanded. I know God's word says that this scripture is inspired by God and it's useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training so that the man of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I know that God's word says, preach the word in season and out of season. God is not overly concerned about where I do it, but he is concerned that I do it. You see, you need to know what those breakout practices are. You need to know exactly what God's word is saying for you. It's very interesting. In Romans 12:1-2, many of us are familiar with verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, for this is your acceptable worship. But notice verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then what does it say? Then you will know what God's good and pleasing and perfect will is for your life. So many of us out there searching, oh, I wonder what God's will is for my life. wonder what God wants me to do. What does he want my major to be? Does he want me to stay in this job? Does he want me to move out of this job? And on it goes. And all along, Scripture is saying, know the word of God. Offer yourself to God every day. Don't accept the pattern of this world. It's very interesting. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man. Doesn't walk, what? In the way of the wicked or in the streets of those who sin and stand with scoffers. But rather, the what? He delights himself in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So he is a tree that is strong, and whatever he does prospers. It's very interesting, this word success. Literally talking about knowledge. It's talking about wisdom. If you want to understand what God wants you to know, especially what he wants you to do, you need to be in the word of God. And you need to accept the breakout practices. Probably the best part of this is verse 9. I don't know if you've ever memorized verse 9, but you got to memorize verse 9. It's like God saying to Moses, haven't I commanded you? Go back to Deuteronomy 31. He does it a couple of times there. We got it in verse 18. God says, be strong and courageous. You see, there's always going to be terror. There's always going to be discouragement. But notice what he says. He says, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know, he could have just said, I'll be with you wherever you go. But he says, the Lord your God. He's saying the God who created this world. The God who made you, the God who gave you your original design, your makeup, your strengths, your abilities, your gifts. This God who saved you and brought you into the family of God. This God who is sovereign. This God who is full of grace and mercy and love and hope and encouragement. This God who wrote the scriptures, who understands how to live life. This God, he is the God that will go with you. He'll never abandon you. He'll never forsake you. He's going to go with you wherever. It's very interesting. Hopefully we have it on the screen. Notice this verse in 2 Corinthians 1, 21 through 22. It says this, now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ. It's not what we do. It's not in ourselves the strength and courage, but it's God. He said he anointed us. He set a seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. God has given us, my friends, this is even before, Joshua didn't have this. God has given us his Holy Spirit who indwells us and guides us and fills us and directs us and goes with us. We need to be strong and we need to be courageous. We need to be people of faith and we need to let faith triumph fear. Three simple questions I have for you this morning. What is the breakout promise you need to claim? You see, whatever's got you full of fear, anxiety, where you feel stuck in a rut, I guarantee you there is a verse that you can claim. There's a breakout promise that you need to know. And if you can't figure it out, come and talk to me. I would love to talk to you about a breakout promise that would relate to what you're going through. Is there a breakout practice? Is there a command that you know you just need to be obeying? You need to stop trying to figure out God's will and you need to focus in on what God has clearly proclaimed in his word and you need to just start obeying him. Or have you forgotten the truth? Have you forgotten the truth that the Lord your God is with you and he will never leave you nor forsake you? He will go with you wherever you go. Are you walking with that awareness? Are you living with that awareness? And when we start walking and living with that awareness, my friends, it's going to make our faith triumph over our fears. Let me pray for us. Father, you are such an awesome God. You're a powerful God, and I thank you for College Avenue Baptist Church, and I thank you for those here this morning who are able to hear the word of God and to obey the word of God. And I pray, dear Lord, this morning that you will open up our hearts and our minds to be people of faith. Thank you for the privilege of being able to proclaim the word of God. Go with us as you promised in your word. Amen.